All right. So Samson and wasted potential. You know, many people would look at Samson's life and marvel at the victories he won. You know, really when I first hear Samson, I think old TV show, many of us might remember, you know, the good-looking, muscle-bound guy, you know, taking care of the Philistines and winning victories. But a closer study leaves one pondering the question, what might have been? What might have been with Samson? It has been said of Samson that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him more times than anyone else in Scripture. We see that the Lord came upon him. And yet, we more vividly remember Samson's end as a blinded and broken prisoner of the enemies of God. He had been born as an answer to prayer, dedicated to the Lord by his godly parents, and was destined to deliver his people from bondage. The process that led him from a birth of promise to a death of disgrace is the subject of our lesson today. So again, kind of a sad story. You know, it ends with a big victory, but it cost him his life in that. So first, we see Samson is disobedient. Samson disobedient. As is often the case, troubles begin with a lack of obedience to God. Time after time in Samson's life, we see him failing to obey. And time after time, we see this disobedience bringing with it terrible consequences. You know, if we don't do what we're supposed to, there's usually consequences. If not immediately, certainly a little bit down the road. Can't often escape the consequences of our sin. You note that Samson's disobedience started early with his parents. He did not simply wake up one morning and decide to reject all that he had been taught about the Lord. He first was disobedient to his immediate authority. And we'll talk about that a little bit. You know, it's kind of baby steps, you know, us. Sometimes it just seems like they wake up, but it usually isn't. It's a sequence of choices and situations that come up that lead people astray. So, there's a real good illustration here. Many of us will remember. July of 1976, the Israeli commandos made a daring raid at the airport in Entebbe, Uganda. People remember the story of Entebbe, 1976, during which 103 Jewish hostages were freed. I remember it was a big victory. Everybody was pretty impressed with the Israeli commandos. In less than 15 minutes, the soldiers had killed all seven of the kidnappers and set the captives free. As successful as the rescue was, however, three of the hostages were also killed during the raid. As the commandos entered the terminal, they shouted in Hebrew, "Get down! Crawl!" The Jewish hostages understood and lay down on the floor, while the guerrillas, who did not speak Hebrew, were left standing. Quickly, the rescuers shot the upright kidnappers. It's kind of a clever way to figure out who was who. But two of the hostages hesitated, perhaps to see what was happening, and they were also shot down. Because they were still standing, they were mistaken as the guerrillas. One young man was actually lying down initially and actually stood up when the commandos entered the airport. He, too, was shot with the bullets meant for the enemy. Had these three heeded the soldiers' command, they would have been freed with the rest of the captives. Kind of an extreme example of quick obedience and doing what we should. Well, for Samson, we see that first, letter A, he was disobedient to his parents. To his parents. There on the worksheet, Judges 14:3 tells us, "Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" In other words, we got a lot of girls here. Why are you going outside? You know, the Israelis. And Samson said unto his father, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." He said, "I don't care, Dad. I like the look of this one." Well, outside of salvation, maybe the most important decision a person can make is in whom they will marry. And as I thought about that, you know, it's good, bad, or ugly, or whatever, we all would agree it's an important decision. It's very important. You know, whether it ends up good or bad or whatever might happen, that's a big decision in our lives when we choose who to marry. Well, and it reminds me also of 2 Corinthians 6:14 in the New Testament. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" So we have enough warnings in Scripture that, you know, we should seek out those that we have, at least our, nowadays, for us, our Christianity in common. Back then with Samson, you know, it should have been his people. You know, that's more than half the battle. You know, marriage is tough, as we all know. So, you know, a real warning to the kids. I hope some of the kids are watching at home or will watch this too, because we tell kids all the time, you know, be careful. Make wise choices. A lot of us, I know, here are turning in, you know, made an unwise choice when they were picking that. And, you know, you kind of laugh nowadays and you think, well, I'm going to change him or I'm going to change her. You know, maybe. Very doubtfully. You just don't see it very often. So it's one thing to really be careful with when we choose. You know, and that goes too with churches too, even church family. You know, well, I like the people, even though they're teaching bad doctrine. You know, we've been close to that. I know several of you have been in that situation, but at some point you got to choose the right people, the righteous people that agree with your doctrine that you want to do. So it can be applied in a lot of different situations that we have. So, you know, it's tough enough raising kids, as Samson's parents found out. You know, peers and friends can lead them astray. Unfortunately, you see it way too often. Good parents, as far as we know or understand, but kids can still get off. Well, we pray they come back. We pray Proverbs 22:6. You know, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we actually kind of see that even with Samson, you know. He had the training, and God's work had work to do with him, but he departed for a while. And so it's a tough business. We try to do as much as we can to spare him a lot of that pain and agony, but it's choices, you know. And kids eventually make their own choices. And Samson made many of his own choices. So he was disobedient to his parents. Samson's parents tried to get him to marry someone who believed in the true God. But Samson only wanted someone who would please him. Samson's parents were godly people. You can look at Judges chapter 13 and read about them more. Samson's very birth was a miracle. And the couple's overriding concern was to please God with the son that he had promised to give them. So from all appearances, Samson was blessed with good, godly parents who loved him and did whatever they could to train and encourage and provide Samson's needs and desires. And I just like that too. For example, you know, so many parents, it's easy to feel guilty if the kids wander off. You know, and what could I have done? Should I have done something more? What didn't I do? You get all these questions, and I've talked to a lot of parents that have suffered through that. But it is, it's their own choices that they make, and they can go off. So, you know, again, we do the best we can, but getting them close to God as early as we can and or bring them back is definitely a good thing to do. Well, his parents no doubt tried to keep him from going against the precepts of Scripture, yet Samson still rejected them and their efforts. God's plan is for children to obey and honor their parents. You know, we see that in Genesis even, you know, to leave and cleave, but honor your mother and father. You know, it's a very important thing to do. But again, good parents, troubled children because of their choices. In fact, Exodus 20:12, there is on your worksheet, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So children are instructed themselves to do that. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's just the right thing to do. And Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So there's a few children in here. Obey your parents. I know you guys do. Oh, yeah, preach it, right? But it is so important to learn that obedience, especially nowadays. You know, everybody, you know, Wednesday night, I think, was it Jamie preached on that? You know, just do it, follow your heart, you know, do what you want to do, make yourself. That's what the world is trying to teach us, you know. They could might as well come right out and say, just be disobedient, kids, do what you want to do, you know. And unfortunately, too many kids are taking that advice instead of advice from some old, you know, beat up preachers telling them to obey their parents, but they need to do it. Often a life of rebellion begins with simple disobedience. It can start out small, but it can really blossom into something a lot worse. Samson was also disobedient to his God. He was disobedient to his God. There's four verses there in a row on your worksheet for pointing this out. Judges 13, verses 3 through 5. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So he had had that basic instruction from birth. Number 6:6, all the days that he, the Nazarite, separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. In other words, he's not supposed to be around these dead bodies. Okay, so he's got some more instruction. Judges 14, 8 and 9. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now, he'd just gotten word to not eat any, be around any dead body and do the very thing that he just did. So, you know, seems like a small step, you know, go gather some honey. But it's that start. That was one of his first steps of disobedience to what he'd been told and raised to know. Deuteronomy 3:23-21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. It's a good warning to us. Don't make vows before God or promise God, hey, God, if you do this, I'll do this. You're in trouble if he does it for you, you know, and if you don't follow through, you know. So be very careful with any vows you take. Samson again disobeyed the Lord by eating honey out of the lion's carcass. This broke his vow and was in direct disobedience to God's standards for Nazarites. It is also worth noting that in both of these situations, Samson was in places where he should not have been. You know, that's a real, you know, well, I can go there, it won't affect me. Got to be very, very careful with that, you know, just who you hang out with, the places you go, the place, what you subject yourself to, you know, you're just tempting temptation, I guess I would say. You want to be careful. He should not have been in Philistine and in the vineyard. He just, no reason to actually go there in the first place. Being in the wrong places led him to engage in wrong actions. We need to learn a strong lesson from this. Sin is a progression, and we will fall in the direction we are leaning. Like that, you just keep leaning over, it's pretty slow, but at some point, you end up falling over. You just can't control it, or you think you can't anyway. Samson was a God-called man who was privileged to be a judge in Israel. He disobeyed God by walking away from the responsibilities and the opportunities that God had given him. As is often the case, this disobedience came because of Samson's lust and his pride. The lust of his flesh, the lust of his eyes, and the pride of life. There's three more verses on your worksheet with that. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Boy, there's a lot in those few verses. You know, and you certainly see that in the world. When we look out in the world today, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that really sums up our world today. You know, that's just going on rampant all around us. So we got to be very careful of that. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We got to refrain from falling in for that and being in the wrong places and thinking the wrong things. Just so important. Romans 8:12 there. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You know, we owe Jesus Christ for saving us. You know, we're debtors to him. Don't, you know, the world, who needs it, really? James 1, verses 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, and obviously we're all susceptible to that. We all sin, and we would all die if Lord Jesus hadn't saved us out of that. And that's important for any watching today that are unsaved to know that Jesus will pay the penalty for us. But if left up to us, we would go after our own desires and follow our flesh. And you know, I mean, it's just what the world can be up here too appealing to us. You know, we're sheep, you know, the dumbest animal out there. And unfortunately, it's too true to compare us to sheep, because we'll fall for the lies and the stuff going on. So again, to be careful. Well, we see that happened because Samson was distracted. Samson was distracted. One of the most important things that God's people can do is focus on the things that please God. All of us, I'm sure, have tried growing up or whatever, even as adults, trying to please our fathers. You know, and sometimes we're successful. I'm sure we've all been not successful. And some would say, I was never successful. You know, you read about that all the time. I could never please my father, you know, which is sad. But our effort, we want to put effort into pleasing our father. Well, it always causes hurt and personal grief and everything. But we can always, what we should be trying to please is God. Yeah. You know, the true father and the real father of us all. And it's important then to keep our focus on pleasing him. If you can't please your worldly father or whatever, focus on pleasing God. There is a Father that loves you, Father in heaven, that wants you to spend eternity with him. And I like the focus. You know, I just actually came into play. I got this new fancy upgraded hearing aid, right? And it's on a phone app. And Kathy attested just yesterday it works really well because there's a button I can hit to focus. And so she'll even say now, are you focused? And it works really nice. All it does is turn off the back microphones, but it cuts out some of the noise, right? So it puts the mics on the front, and so I can focus on just what's in front of me. And I can even shorten the circle, tighten the circle in, so I can focus a little better. So actually, you know, very useful, as you can imagine. You know, we're in a noisy restaurant where before I just sit there and eat because I couldn't hear a thing, you know. And now I'm able to at least pick up about 75% of the conversation. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to focus. I thought, well, that's really interesting that comes into the lesson this week, that we need to tighten that circle into God. You know, focus on him. You know, he's right there talking to it. But The world is making noise all around us and behind us and above us and saying, listen to me, watch me, be, you know, do this and do that. Focus. I love that. If you learn that today, if nothing else, to just bring in your focus to God and focus on pleasing God. There on the worksheet, Philippians 3, 13 and 14 tells us, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press forward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was focusing forward. In fact, the app on my phone actually says forward focus. Now, it's going to remind me of this every time I look at that. Okay, now I have to forward focus on God. But just a wonderful lesson. I hope you can get it secondhand because it really does work. Then there in the worksheet, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, you think of a race, they're running forward, right? They're going for the finish line. It's always a forward motion. It's a step after step in the right direction, if you will. And it's set before us. And that's what Jesus did. He took step towards the cross, the finisher of his course. Then 1 Corinthians 9, 25 through 27. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Whew. You know, it's kind of like, do what you say you're going to do. And, you know, if you want to be able to talk to people about God, you need to be an example, of godly living and to keep that focus. You don't want to just, flap our gums, as we might say nowadays, beating the air. It's just all noise to people that don't see any results in your own life and what's going on. There's a great illustration here. It's told about the legendary baseball players. That's Hank Aaron. You might recognize him. Behind the plate is Yogi Berra, one of the great catchers of all time. Hank Aaron of the Milwaukee Braves was new to the major leagues, but was already one of the best home run hitters in baseball. Yogi Berra was the colorful veteran catcher for the New York Yankees, and their teams were playing each other in the World Series. Berra was famous for distracting batters with his constant chatter. Hank Aaron stepped up to the plate, and Berra started in on him. Hank, you're holding the bat all wrong. You're supposed to hold it so that you can read the label. I remember being taught that. Label up, you got to be able to see that. I thought that was interesting. Aaron focused on the pitcher. You notice the word focus up on Trent here. He ignored Berra and then proceeded to hit his first pitch over the fence into the left field bleachers for a home run. He ran around the bases, came back to home plate, and said to Yogi, I didn't come up here to read. I like that. He didn't care where I was. That's not what was it. Aaron kept his focus on what he was to do. So Samson focused too much on his past victories. Letter A, past victories. Now, we just read that on Philippians 3:13, the Apostle Paul characterized himself as forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. People who dwell on the past often miss the opportunities that are at hand. If Samson had not returned to see the lion he had killed, he would never have seen the honey nor broken his vow to God. He chose to go back to his former sin, not intending to partake in it, but to glory in it for just a moment. This led to the huge failure in his life. You know, he wanted to go get a selfie of his foot on the lion. You know, look what I did. You know, and just being proud of that. And as a Nazirite, wasn't supposed to do that. So that lack of focus left him susceptible to current temptations. And, you know, what came to my mind immediately were like the celebrities, you know. Miserable lives for the most of them. But they start believing their own press, how great they are, how wonderful they are. And, you know, some of these just overblown egos they get because everybody's always telling them, you know, that they're great or good or, you know, and this and that. And, you know, they're focused on their accomplishments that they've already had instead of moving forward and just trying to be a better person. When Samson met Delilah, he had a choice. He had a choice. He could flee temptation. Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife. Or he could pursue his temptation. Samson gave in to the temptation, and it ultimately led to his destruction. He went back to the vineyard to take a woman he was not supposed to marry, simply because she pleased him. She did not please God, but that was not a consideration with Samson. He just batted those eyebrows at him and, you know, boom, or eyelashes, I guess you bat. Okay. As we live our lives today, what pleases us really does not matter. It needs to be all about what pleases God. You know, and I was thinking to meditate on that, and it's okay to be pleased, you know, you can enjoy things and like them, but it's just, it's not that what is the most important. You know, my pleasure is not the most important thing, you know, it's just, you know, life isn't all about me, you know, I had to learn that, you know, from a baby, you know, everything, usually everybody caters to the baby. They start growing up that way. Maybe that was Samson's problem. It was all about him growing him up. But it's got to be balanced, you know, with some discipline and learning that it's really not all about him. You know, you just don't get caught up in it. I guess is the easiest thing to say. We just don't need to, you know, that's what I want to do. Well, I think, as I thought about that, you know, okay, that sounds good, Elder Don, but what? We need to practice sacrifice. Yeah. You know, I thought, you know, sometimes I don't feel like coming to church. You know, I just don't feel like it. But you make the sacrifice and come anyway. You know, you should do it. You sacrifice a little bit of the pleasure, you know, of sitting home and watching a game or, you know, whatever, reading a book. But, hey, God's word says, you know, be in church, go to church, do that. So it's a bit of a sacrifice. And you practice that. You develop good habits. You know, pretty soon it's not so hard anymore. When maybe a big sacrifice is coming up, you've had some practice at it. You just don't wake up one day doing bad. You just don't wake up one day being good. Unless God gets a hold of you and converts you on the spot. You know, praise God. But I just think we need to practice some of that. You know, we could all help with a little more, or do with a little more sacrifice and doing the right thing to please God.
Yeah, that's right.
To please God. That's the goal. Well, we see, number three, Samson was destroyed. Destroyed. We often fail to consider the gradual cumulative effect of sin in our lives. Some, you know, a little step at a time, you don't even notice. You know, I've had a leak under the sink or, you know, and it's just a drip. So you put a bucket under there, then you forget about it. What happens drip after drip? All of a sudden that bucket's overflowing, right? And you have a flood and you're replacing floorboards. And just because you didn't even think about that little drip of sin that we're letting into our lives, that it's just accumulating, it's growing. Well, this is a great story in St. Louis, 1984. An unemployed cleaning woman noticed a few bees buzzing around in the attic of her home. Since there were only a few, she didn't make any effort to deal with them. Over the summer, the bees continued to fly in and out of the attic vent while the woman remained unconcerned, unaware of the growing city of bees. The whole attic became a hive, and the ceiling of the second floor bedroom finally caved in under the weight of hundreds of pounds of honey and thousands of angry bees. Hope she wasn't sitting under that deal. While the woman escaped serious injury, she was unable to repair the damage of her accumulated neglect. I thought, well, that's a good picture too, just a little bee entering our life, you know, and all of a sudden it gets too heavy in the consequence until everything caves in. Then we take notice, you know, Lord help me. Well, hopefully he will, but don't let those bees build up. Well, there's also an anecdote by J. Wilbur Chapman. It says, I was once a pastor in Schuylerville, New York, where on the Burgoyne Surrender Ground stands a celebrated monument. It is beautiful to look upon. One side of it is a niche in General Schuyler, and on the other side, it is General Gates. On the third side, in the same sort of niche, another distinguished general, General Daniel Morgan, is to be seen. But on the fourth niche, it is vacant, just an empty niche there. When I asked the reason, he was told it's the niche which might have been filled by Benedict Arnold had he not been a traitor. Quite the story. Thinking, okay, they had a place for him to be a great general and remembered. But as we all know, Benedict Arnold turned to a traitor. The Saratoga Monument commemorates the surrender of the British Army under the command of General John Burgoyne to General Horatio Gates, commander of the American forces, on October 17, 1777, following the Battle of Saratoga. The battles and subsequent surrender are considered a turning point in the American Revolution by leading to French support and the hope of ultimate victory. The monument was completed in 1887, and the fourth niche remains vacant to this very day for Benedict Arnold. Yeah. So Samson then suffered a depletion of power. He lost his power, as we read, Judges 16:20. And again, then she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You know, that had to be a rude awakening when he expected the same result. And all of a sudden, his power is gone. You know, it was depleted. The saddest moments of Samson's life, from some perspectives, were his final days when he was blinded and grinding for the Philistines like an animal. However long before that, when Samson had risen up to fight the Philistines, he had wist or known not that the Lord was departed from him. We believers, I would say, need to understand that our sins separate us from God and therefore deprive us of his fellowship and his power and his blessings. We do that to ourselves, just as Samson did. Our power depletes because we step away from God. He doesn't step away from us. Isaiah 59:1-2, there on the worksheet. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. He will not hear. Scary words, sad thought. You know, it wasn't him. It's what we did and what we do that separate us from God. To be separated from God by our own sin and stubbornness is indescribably sad. It is sad. Because God is our source of victory. God is our source of strength. Bob Jones Sr. often said, don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. You know, sometimes we just look for that immediate gratification or that immediate response, that something that'll please us, but we're sacrificing the permanent things he wants to do. In other words, ignore any vice that encourages you to live for the moment. And we could add, just do it. All those things that we are advised without any thought of the consequences down the road. For the sake of a few brief moments of prideful pleasure, Samson lost everything that God had offered him. Wow. That was such a devastation of potential. Potential. We've all known people, kids especially, classmates, roommates, kids, you know, whoever, that you hear often, oh, he had so much potential. You know, and then usually followed by what happened. You know, the devastation of potential. From the circumstances of his birth and the solicitude of his godly parents, it's evident that God had great plans for Samson. And God did use him to win some victories. In fact, the Bible says that he killed more Philistines in his death than he had during his life. And I thought, you know, that's such a good lesson just right there, too, that, you know, God's plan, God's going to do what he plans.
That's right.
We can mess it up and not do it like he wanted us to, but he's going to do it. And that's not to forgive us or to excuse us from not doing what we should do. I want you to understand that. It's better to be on his team and do it the way he wants us to. But it's important to know God can do whatever he wants to do. Just a reminder of that. There's no doubt that much of Samson's potential was wasted by his own foolishness and self-indulgence. He cared only about himself and his own pleasures. And thus, Samson's potential was wasted. So remember these words of poet John Greenleaf Whittier. For all the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. You know, you certainly want to have somebody read that at your eulogy. You know, if you're there and at your own funeral, if you could hear somebody saying, oh, what might have been. If he had just, or if she had just, you know, but better to hear that, you know, well played, good and faithful servant, you know, well done. Well, just think of what might have been. After the death of Samson, only one more judge ruled over the nation of Israel before the kings then came to power. His name was Samuel, the last judge of Israel. There was, however, a stark difference between Samson and Samuel. Samuel said to the Lord, quote, speak, for thy servant heareth. You know, he wanted to hear, if you remember the story, you know, I'm here, Lord, speak what you want me to do. But Samson, rather than seeking God's will, had said to his parents, get her for me, she pleaseth me. The difference between these statements should be a challenge to every believer. Are we seeking what we desire for ourselves, or are we looking for the direction of the Lord? We need to be looking at what he wants us to do. A little bit of sacrifice for our God. Let's pray. Father God, we again thank you for this lesson. Just to remind us, Lord, to be humble and just not always self-seeking and our desires and wishes, to consider yours and to consider consequences, Lord, that we would just pray for the strength to keep us under your care and under your guidance, Lord, that we would just look to be faithful servants to you. Just so appreciate these people that come out Sunday morning and tune in Sunday morning to hear these lessons. It's just a good step in that very direction to listen to the word. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us this morning and to respond to the word as well, to take those steps of faith and obedience in our lives, that we would just follow after you. Help us to be more like Samuel, Lord, than like Samson. Both can be used of God, but one had much greater impact on what was to follow. So we pray for that for each of our lives. We pray for the service to follow as we learn or hear more about the prodigal son and the father relationship there. Just all good examples to us, and as we follow after you, to become more like you. Pray that that would just be so, Lord. Bless the time we have together here, and then the time to follow in the next lesson to come. We just thank you for all that and for being with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So next week is the centurion, the man who amazed Jesus. Hopefully a little lighter lesson, but you never know with these things. But good to have lessons anyway that of just examples to God.